Morning, everyone. Show 77 in the series. Hurtling down towards that 100. We want to get to the 100 for the Spring Classics. That's our plan. That's the strategy. I need to keep coming up with content to make sure that I don't need to miss any weeks. Welcome along. Thank you for joining, listening, listeners new and old. This week, the show is particularly single-themed, and I don't make any excuses for that. We're talking about Flanders, for a change. excuse me, I think I've got a Flanders cold coming. And the fact that this weekend sees a return. I'm heading back over there after work tonight, in the middle of the night, getting over there and getting some, hopefully, despite the weather, getting some cycling in, some back to the classic climbs, and hopefully to the RVV Museum. And so on, and people have kind of, oh, why go back? And I suppose that's a really good question, because it's, you know, okay, the beer's fantastic, that's a given. The food's okay. The area's relatively scenic in parts, I suppose you could say. But the weather's generally terrible, and this weekend looks like being no exception. So why go back? Why the obsession with Flanders and you know, these cobbly, horrible, steep, twisty roads? And I suppose that it kind of goes back kind of many years. It's almost like the Alpe d'Huez itch that got scratched last year. Is that, you know, 25 odd years of watching bike racing, Flanders is one of the ones that sticks out in your memory. It's one of the ones that you look forward to every year. And I was no, you know, as a kid I was no different. I wanted to watch it, and I wanted to ride it. And kind of going back to November 15, the opportunity to ride the Sportif came up, and I entered at that time, not knowing actually how dramatically different life would be by the time the Sportif rolled round. And literally within a couple of weeks of entering, came some pretty devastating news back at home that my mum was seriously ill with cancer. And after all the tests and the various bits and pieces, the Sportif came round, and I'd not even given it a second thought. I'd trained quite hard that winter, but in my mind, you know, I kind of knew or had the feeling that potentially it wouldn't be happening. So when, you know, it kind of came to mind that I'd need my parents to look after the children so the wife and I could go over to Bruges for the event. I fully expected that to be, you know, the thing that ensured that the trip didn't go ahead. To find out my mum had postponed her chemo so I could go meant that I went there, I think, charged with emotion would be a fairly appropriate phrase. Massively charged, massive emotion. And, you know, I would have, and I did crawl and scratch with my fingernails to get around that course that day, because there was 0% chance of me stopping. And, you know, the weather was pretty terrible for the 2016 edition. You can read some pieces that are written on it. They're on Road CC. And if you have True Start Coffee, True Start Cyclist Coffee, there's also a blog that they run that took some of my content. So have a look on there. It just was, you know, that kind of thing. There was, you know, and as a bloke you're not supposed to say these things, but there was floods and floods of tears at the finish. There was floods and floods of tears phoning home. And, you know, the jersey, the medal, the sticky sticker with all the climbs on off my handlebar, off your top tube, they're all on display at home. And I'm not usually that kind of guy, but, you know, that went above and beyond what I'd ever expected cycling to be about. And then the fact that the following year, after successfully going through the chemo and the radiotherapy, we went back to Bruges, and my mum was able to come with us as a former cancer patient, former cancer sufferer. Yeah, you know, we just stood in the square in Bruges, and it all kind of washed over and came out. And it was. I think they call it closure, American people and psychiatrists. So yeah, the thought of going back, actually, hopefully, in a stress-free and panic-free environment, actually really, really appeals to me. I'm sure there'll be some emotion because, you know, they're places that will trigger some pretty dark feelings that I had at that time. But now, you know, it's looking forward and I want to go out there and I want to, you know, treat the climbs as what they are. But it's a road to get round rather than a personal crusade. So, yeah, it'll be good. Forecast weather-wise isn't fantastic, but you know, I had the best possible training tonic last weekend thanks to Ramsey Cycling Club, who they were hard to catch. Jeez, I was heading out on the A15 and I could just about see them, and fortunately they had two groups that kind of merged together, and I think they had a little bit of a catch up and a chat as the two groups got together, which allowed me the chance to do something about getting on the back, which was good. And then we had a great little ride round and a good chat until they went to the new Gidding cycle calf. So hopefully, maybe on their website or on their Facebook, there's a review of what that was like, possibly. But yeah, a really great bunch of lads, and I can't wait to get back out with them and hopefully go round and you know, talk about our mutual experiences, because they've ridden the Ronde Sportif a few times now and they're heading back. So yeah, really good to meet the guys and look forward to riding with you again. The final bit of business to attend to today, briefly, and probably we should have done it in a little bit more detail, is the end of the Vuelta. It all kind of went as you probably would have planned it, to be honest. Contador winning the Angliru stage. To be fair, he was always going to get that sort of chance at some point. He spent some more time off the front than Thomas de Gent usually does. But probably a fitting way to end a career. We've done him to death in recent weeks, haven't we? But, you know, like him or loathe him, he is probably the winningest Grand Tour rider of this generation. So, fair play. I thought it was very fitting how he rode into Madrid. Off the front, I like that kind of stuff. It shows that despite all the commercialism and all of the nonsense that goes with written rules, unwritten rules and all that kind of stuff, actually that was a really nice touch and thoroughly kind of deserved show of respect for him, because, you know, whatever he has or hasn't taken or however he likes his steak, you know, he still had to pedal the bike, unless he's got a motor, of course. So, you know, it was good. It was very good to see, and a good actual welter. I've seen a fair bit of criticism for the route and some of the racing, but I haven't really understood all the moaning about all the Grand Tours this year. I thought the Giro was quite exciting right up to the 11th hour, and I thought that the Tour de France was good. There was some, okay, you can maybe say the overall battle was always weighted in Chris Froome's favour, but there was plenty of adversity and stuff that went wrong for him to make it more of a race. We shall see what next year holds. The routes will be coming out soon, and of course we will be able to chat about them on the show. Okay, so wraps up this week's cast 77. Yeah, let's hope the rain stops. There's no sign of it. It's pelting off the tin car at the moment. Let's hope the rain stops and that we've got some good stories to tell you next week when we're back. In the meantime, enjoy your cycling however you do it. And we will speak to you next week on the 78th Fendrinecast. Until then, take care and bye-bye.